Good morning. Thank you so much for this wonderful opportunity to share the Word of God with you and to have fellowship today. And I'm so glad for this invitation to me and my family. And we love this assembly and we love our brother and sisters here. And today we can continue to look at the Word of God related to the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, that resurrection is very powerful. It's a main foundation of our Christian beliefs. And we want to continue learning from the Word of God on that topic. So when we see in the Bible, there are several passages, you know, related to the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. But today I particularly want to focus one passage. It's a wonderful story about our Lord Jesus Christ, and it is related to the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it is mentioned in Luke chapter 24, verses 13 to 35. So this is very powerful story. And I have asked Brother Ray to, if he can display this story on the screen. It's a long passage to read. So we will focus on that. So this is the story on the road of Emmaus, and wonderful story of two people, two disciples. They are going to the village of Emmaus, and Jesus meets them, and Jesus asks, "What are you talking about?" And then it provides wonderful opportunity. So we want to look at this passage particularly. Before that, I just want to go in the background, what happened during the Passover time and what happened to our Lord Jesus Christ. He was crucified on the cross, and religious people, the political people, and the other people, the common Jew people, they wanted to get rid of that Lord Jesus Christ, because they were feeling that Jesus is a threat to them. And they just killed him on the cross. And when Jesus is already dead, now their schemes are continued. I mean, they schemed, they made different plot to Jesus Christ that he will be hanged on the cross. And when he is dead now, their scheme is still continued. They are making more obstacles, more hurdles, that we will not allow Jesus Christ to raise from the dead. And particularly three hurdles were made that Jesus will not raise from the dead. One was, a heavy stone was put on the grave of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then there was a seal on the stone from the government, from the emperor, and nobody dared to break this seal. And the third hurdle was that they put guard on the grave. So this seems wonderful, a unique grave, because never seen this kind of things, you know. Heavy stone maybe is one of them, but never put on the seal of the government. Never put the guard on the grave. So Jesus' grave, Jesus' tomb is very, very historical. And people are watching there. People are seeing that. What is this? But that was the scheme of human. The hatred in the hearts of religious and political people, that they are trying to make hurdles difficult that we are not allowing Jesus to raise from the dead. And all these schemes were human, ordinary thing. And we know that Jesus was raised from the dead on the third day. And stone was removed. The seal was broken. And the guard was unconscious. And Jesus was raised from the dead. And he defeated death. He defeated grave. And he defeated sin. And he victoriously asked, "Where is your sting?" Jesus is risen. But Jesus is already risen? No. But that reality is not accepted by his disciples. You know, they are still in doubts. They are still wondering if Jesus is really resurrected or not. Even though we have a passage in the start of 24th chapter, verses from 1, and they have seen a wonderful story, wonderful appearance of Lord Jesus Christ. And Mary and some other women went to this tomb, and at the end we see that they did not find Jesus in the grave. And they were told by the angels, "He is not here, he is risen." And then they went back to the disciples and they told that Jesus is resurrected. But they did not believe that. And then we have a passage in the Gospel of John. We see that Peter and John also go to the tomb, and they found only the clothes, but not Jesus Christ. So it seems that they are not expecting that Jesus is going to rise. They are not expecting that Jesus is going to raise from the dead. So they have a lot of confusions and a lot of doubts. And this story actually on the road of Emmaus, and you can see in the screen a little while ago, that the same day Jesus, two disciples, they are walking and they are going to the village of Emmaus. So these two disciples are not in the main group of the disciples. Maybe they are part of 70 disciples. We don't know about them. Even one is mentioned with his name, Cleopas. I don't know if that is the right pronunciation, Cleopas or Cleopas. Cleopas. Sorry. Cleopas is mentioned. Just one name is mentioned. The other name is not mentioned even. So they are not main part of the disciples group. But they are going to Emmaus. They are leaving Jerusalem. By the way, I just want to mention that after Jesus was raised from dead, he appeared to his people, many times disciples, many times other people, many times women, and one time he was appeared to 500 people. And there are around 12 appearances of our Lord Jesus Christ after he was rose from the dead. And 40 days he was in this world after he was raised from the dead. And during that time, he was meeting different groups. And he was motivating their hearts, strengthening their heart, teaching to them, having fellowship. And many times he was restoring people. You know, he met Peter and he restored him. Because he was feeling that I am abundant. I have done wrong thing with our Lord Jesus Christ and there is no chance for me. But Jesus always had a second chance. And Jesus went after him. And this story tells us something very related to that situation. Two disciples, they are going from Jerusalem to Emmaus, disappointed, disheartened, in sad situation. They felt that it was a failure. They feel that it is over now. The game is over. We had a wonderful time with Jesus for almost 3 years, but it's over now, and they are going back maybe to their life in Emmaus, and that is their understanding. So while they were going, they were talking what has happened, and it is wonderful that what they are talking, we can guess that they must be talking about different things about our Lord Jesus Christ, how they become disciple of Jesus Christ, how they choose the path to follow Jesus Christ, how he was in this world and how he was behaving, how he was feeding the people, healing the sick. And they must be talking about eventually he went to the cross, he died there, and after that the story is over. Their hearts are sorrowful. They are in desperate situation, disappointed, disappear, and they are very sad. It is mentioned here that they became very sad, and they are talking about this. The beautiful thing is that Jesus Christ, he follows them. It is written, as they talk and discuss these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. I'm reading from the NIV New International Version. So Jesus joined them and he walked along them. This is beautiful. Jesus is raised from the dead. He did not choose to go to Roman people. He did not go to religious people to prove that he is risen. He is going to his disciples. Even the disciple who don't have a significant, a simple people. They are not in the main line of the discipleship group. They are not from the 12 disciples. But Jesus has a soft heart. Jesus has a love for his sheep, for his friend, that he is going. He is deciding to walk with these two people. Just for not a minute, a 2, 5 seconds, a 10 minute, an hour. At least 2 to 2.5 hours, because that travel is 7 miles from Jerusalem to Emmaus. And they are walking. By foot they are walking on the dusty road of Emmaus. And Jesus decided to deliberately to spend this valuable time with these two disciples who are really desperate, who are really disappointed, and who are really in this critical situation. This is my story also, my dear brother and sister. It's your story also. Many times we are sad. We are disappointed. We are frustrated. We are thinking that it's over. Our life is over. Our spiritual life is over. The circumstances around us, they make difficult for us. Maybe a loved one is dead. They have left. We have different type of struggles, disappointments. Unexpected things happen in our life. Maybe family members has died. Jobs has lost. Our marriage life in danger. Children are going to different direction. There are different things happening in our life. And this is our situation as well. Our risen Lord is with us. And He is willing to walk with us in this journey. He's taking time. He is caring about us. He is concerning about the situation. So these two disciples have lost their hope. There is nothing left for them. And maybe they are going away from Jerusalem because they were supposed to live in Jerusalem and be His witness. And Jesus have taught them many times that I am going to Jerusalem, I will be crucified. But they forgot everything. And they think Jesus' death is a failure. And they are in desperate situation. This might be our situation as well. My dear brother and sister, please don't lose hope. We have a risen Lord with us. He is taking care of us. He is joining our journey with us. And He is available to join us as He joined these two brothers on the road of Emmaus. Don't need to be worried about that. He is provider. He is healer. He is a way maker. He is a chain breaker. And we have experienced this very difficult situation in our life. Past 2 or 3 weeks were really, really difficult for us and for our family. We moved from Pakistan to come here to study at Trinity International University. 3 weeks ago, we got this news that Trinity is closing and they are moving from here to Canada. It was a big shock for us. And we were so disappointed. What's going to happen to us? We are in the middle of the program. What will happen to my study? My wife's study, she is also studying. We have 3 children, they are also in school. What will happen to our future? And that was a really difficult situation. But God restored our heart. God provided wonderful consultation, wonderful peace in our heart. And I want to thank God for my wife. She is so supportive. I was very disappointed, very, very frustrated. But He used my wife and some other friends that we are still in God's plan. God has not forsaken us. We still have hope that He has brought us here for His purpose, and He will continue to use different circumstances to fulfill His plan. So this is personal experience I am sharing with you, my dear brother and sister. You might also have a same situation where there is no way, where there is no seem, there is no any way, there is no hope maybe for you. But still, there is hope because we believe in our Lord Jesus Christ and He is risen. So they were talking about that and Jesus approached them and asked them, what are you talking about? And they seemed very sad and they said, you are the only person in Jerusalem who don't know what happened here. And Jesus asked, what happened? He knew everything. He is God. But He wanted to listen, wanted to hear from His disciple what is their point of view, what is their worldview about Himself and about what has happened. And then they started telling the story. And that is very disappointing story. For example, they said about Jesus of Nazareth, They replied, "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priest and our ruler hanged him over to sentence to death, and they crucified him. We had hope that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel." So it seems it's not a powerful message. It doesn't seem that it is a powerful testimony about Jesus Christ. It's a disappointing testimony they are giving. And there are many things which are not accordingly, because these things were not according to the Bible. For example, they are saying that he is a prophet. Indeed, he is a prophet, but he is more than a prophet. They think that Jesus is just a prophet. And if we believe that Jesus is just a prophet, there is no any hope. There is no any salvation for humanity. And they are saying that Jesus as prophet, that is not what Jesus was expecting from them. This is incomplete faith. This is incomplete gospel. Because Jesus, maybe he is a prophet in some sense, but he is God. He is the Son of God. He is incarnated God. God in human body. And this is what our people back in Pakistan believe that. We come from Pakistan and 97.6% Muslim population. And they believe that Jesus is one of great prophets. But Jesus is not Savior. Jesus is not Word of God. Jesus is not Son of God. Jesus is not God. And that faith is incomplete. Because with this faith, we cannot be saved. So they are saying he was just a prophet, powerful prophet. But his power was, he was not that powerful to save him from the dead. Because that was their expectation. They expected different type of Savior. They urged that Jesus is a different kind of Savior. They were expecting that Jesus will fight for them. He will restore Israel by fighting, by becoming a warrior. They were expecting that Jesus would have a great army, because the concept of army, concept of warrior, concept of king, King Saul, King David, King Solomon was in their heart and in their mind. And they were thinking that Jesus will be one of that warrior, but he was not. They expected just Jesus will have weapons. He will have a sword and he will shed the blood of people. But that Savior is not that kind of. He shed his own blood, but he is not willing to take life of any other person and shed the blood of other people. They were expecting that Jesus will have a throne. He will be sitting on throne. He will be like David. And he will ride on the horse, a victorious king. But he deliberately chose to ride on donkey as a peaceful savior. They were expecting that Jesus will kick out the Romans. But he was killed by the Romans. So that's why they were very frustrated. And they were expecting that he will be powerful general and he will have a lot of people around him. And the The disciple will be his generals, and they will be on big positions. You know, we have our one request in Gospel of John. John's mother, John's and James' mother, asked Jesus, "When you come into your kingdom, my one son will be on right, and my one other son will be on the left side." But Jesus discouraged that idea. They were expecting that Jesus will be a different type, political leader. He is not political leader. Maybe a time is coming in the future when he comes in the second coming. Then there will be a different picture. But this time he came as a human being, as a humble servant, as a suffering servant. And that was their confusion. So they are asking that Jesus is a prophet, which is incomplete. And then we had hope that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. But all our hopes are gone. So this is the situation of these people. My dear brother and sister, what is your belief about Jesus Christ? If you only believe that Jesus is the one of the prophet, there is no hope for us. Because no one can save us. Only God can save. Only Jesus, the Lamb of God, being God, made him humble, servant leader, and came into this world and died for us. And John said, John the Baptist said, "This is the Lamb of God who is taking away the sins of the world." Only believing that Jesus, God incarnated, crucified for us, can save us. And this is the hope. This is the message we have to deliver to other brother and sister. Some of you know that we are here serving among our Pakistani people group here. We also serve to some Muslim people around us. And Lord provides some opportunity. A few days ago, our old car is, you know, making difficulties. The car was broken and I went to a shop, and that was a Muslim person who was from Pakistan. And I deliberately go there because he has long beard, and I was asking God, provide me some opportunity that I can share something about Jesus Christ to this person. They were two brothers actually. They had a long beard, and you know, so they were talking, and while they were repairing my car, God provided this opportunity. And they asked some question because they knew that I'm Christian. I'm studying at Trinity. So they were trying to convert me. So I said, "Wow, praise the Lord. My prayer has been heard, you know, because I prayed the Lord provide some opportunity." And then they were talking, and then I got some opportunity. I shared with them about Jesus Christ, his sacrificial death on the cross and rising from the dead, because they believe that Jesus went to the heaven without dying, which is not complete gospel. Jesus died, he was buried, and he was raised from the dead on third day. That is the complete gospel. And many times we are thinking, okay, they are believing that Jesus is raised. This is wonderful, but this is incomplete, my dear brother and sister. Denying the death of Jesus is dangerous, because through the death of Jesus Christ, our salvation is completed. And thank God that provided wonderful opportunity to share the gospel with these two brothers. And we have still, you know, in contact that we will continue. So this is my prayer. This is my challenge for all of us. People around you, maybe they don't believe that Jesus is God. This is opportunity to share with them that Jesus is not just a prophet. He's God. He's Son of God who died for us and who raised from the dead on the third. So this is a message from these two disciples. Incomplete, frustrated, difficult. And Jesus, if Jesus was an ordinary person, he could have mad on that. Oh, you fool guys. You don't believe that and that. This is not good. Even though he scolded them a little bit. But here is the response of our Lord Jesus Christ. When he heard this story, he took the Bible. I mean, Old Testament at that time. An open Bible. And he started teaching to them. This is wonderful. That Jesus started teaching to them. Verse 25. He said to them, how foolish you are. And how slow of heart to believe all these things. The prophet has spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter to his glory? So it means that he is saying, this is according to God's plan. My death was appointed by God. My death is not a failure. My death is a victory. It is a success. So don't mourn on my death. Don't think that death is a failure. Death is defeat. No. Death is a victory. And Jesus is celebrating his death because all the things were accomplished. And when he was on the cross, he said, it is finished. It is finished. My dear brother and sisters, how do you see the death of our Lord Jesus Christ? Many people in this world, they are still mourning, lamenting, feel very sorry about Jesus' death. Some people in tradition, they wear black clothes. They are looks very serious. They are crying. But my encouragement to these people is that this is not a time of mourning. It's a time of victory. It's a time of celebration. It's a time of singing, praising the Lord. Lord, thank you what you have done in our life. And that's why we take part and remember our Lord's death. So that's the story. Jesus' perspective is totally different. Disciples' perspective of death is failure, defeated, frustrated. But our Lord takes it different way. And he is saying that it was according to God's plan. And then he started from Moses to prophet, the open Bible. And they had wonderful Bible study at the road of Emmaus. What a wonderful Bible study they had. And they would never forget that experience again. And then Jesus started giving them reference from the Old Testament. We don't know what kind of reference he has given to them. But my hope that he must have started from the Genesis, where he talks about Jesus when he was first time prophesied that the devil will hit on his foot and he will crush the head of the serpent. That was the first prophecy in Genesis 3:15. Jesus might have pointed Deuteronomy 18:15, where he says, the Lord will raise up for you a prophet like Moses. Then he might have tell about the reference from the Psalm 22, where he said, Oh my Lord, why you have forsaken? He might have also give them reference from the book of Isaiah, where it is written that I will give you a sign, the virgin will conceive, he has son, and his name will be Emmanuel. He might have given the reference from book of Isaiah 53 verse 3, where he says he was despised and rejected by men, a man of suffering who knew what sickness was. He was like one of the people turned away from him, and he was despised and he did not value him. He might have given this verse as well, 53 verse 7. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth, like a lamb led to the slaughter and like a sheep silent before his hearer. He did not open his mouth. So this was the message he might have given to these disciples to restore them and to help them to understand. Some scholar says there are 350 prophecies in the Old Testament about our Lord Jesus Christ. So he must have used so many other references to give to these two disciples to help them to understand. My dear brother and sister, the word of God is so powerful. When we have doubts, it helps us. When we have confusions, look at the word of God. This word is a divine word of God. And this is my prayer. This is my urge for you. My wish for you. Whenever you have any problem, look at the word of God. Whenever you see the changing in the word, look at the word of God. Whenever you have doubts of anything, look at the word of God. When you have any prosperity gospel, look at the word of God. When you hit by different type of heresies, cults, look at the word of God. When you have doubt about Jesus and Jesus' power, look at the word of God. Because the word of God helps us to understand what is the reality of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's why we don't ignore the word of God. And I'm so glad and thankful for the brethren assemblies. They have put main focus on the word God. I want to congratulate for that. Please continue, because this is the right pattern. So then Jesus opened the wonderful word of God. And while they were going, the story goes, continue. They arrived the village, and now Jesus is going further, and he's expecting something from these disciples. What is going to happen now? They have listened, they have a wonderful Bible study, they have a wonderful passage from the word about him. What is next now? What is their response? And that was something Jesus was expecting from them, that they might invite him. But he did not want to ask them, shall I come with you and have a bread and have stay with you? No, he was trying to move further. And here they come. They ask Jesus a wonderful request. 29, verse 29. But they urge him strongly, stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over. So he went in to stay with them. That was an invitation by these disciples. Jesus, without any invitation, he is not willing to come in our life. He wants us to give proper way, proper invitation. And many times, he is staying outside, knocking the door. In the book of Revelation, we see that passage. Jesus is knocking on the door. He wants to come in, to get fellowship, to help us. And many times, we are not opening the door. Here we see that Jesus wants us to open invitation and door for us. And then he wants to stay with us. And then he wants to reveal himself to us. This is what it happened here. Whenever you have any problem, my dear brother and sister, invite him, because he says, put every burden on me. I am here to help you. I will be with you always. Don't take your burden by yourself. Many times we are taking our burden by ourselves. But Jesus is inviting us. If we have any concern, if we have any sadness, if we have any disease, if we have any problem, any issue, invite him. And then he is going to help us. And then we see that this is wonderful. And the table is set. Bread is put on that. And we are very surprised that Cleopas is not the head. I mean, he must have taken that bread and he would divide the bread to these people and give to Jesus. But Jesus is the main head here. Jesus is the main guest here. This is surprising. This is unique that Jesus is the head of our family. Jesus is the head of our life. Jesus is on the driving seat of our life and our family. Don't give Jesus a second or third position in your life. He deserves the first position. He deserves the best. He is the head. And Jesus is breaking the bread. Some people say, how they recognize Jesus? Maybe through breaking the bread. When Jesus broke the bread and gave to disciples, that was the time they recognized him. Another thought is about when Jesus is breaking the bread. They saw a scar on his hand. And then they recognize him that, oh, this is Jesus. Their eyes were open and they recognize Jesus by seeing at scars of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is beautiful. And then Jesus was disappeared. And then they started talking about what happened. And they said, oh, when he was there, our hearts were motivated. After this encounter, so many things were open. I have listed down some of them. Their eyes were open. When we see Jesus, when we have a valuable time with the Lord Jesus Christ, have an encounter with God, our eyes are open. Their hearts were open. Their doors were open. I mean, they opened the door for Jesus. The table was open. The bondage of failure turned to victory. Sadness to joy and excitement. They had come from Jerusalem to amaze with the bad news about the death of Jesus Christ. But that was turned into good news. Little faith is turned into abundant of faith. The defeated Jesus became the victorious Jesus. The fear turned into boldness. Because they were concerned about the darkness. They were concerned about the evening. There might be some danger. But when they had this wonderful news, they were willing to leave immediately the amaze and go back to Jerusalem again. And that all happened with the wonderful encounter of our Lord Jesus Christ. When they heard this all wonderful things, it is written, they immediately returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 apostles of Jerusalem and share their experience with them. They became a missionary of sharing about the resurrected Jesus. They came with a defeated Jesus, crucified Jesus. But when they are going back, they are going back as a missionary, as a witness of Lord Jesus, as a resurrected, risen Savior. Isn't it amazing that our Lord is a victorious? Our Lord is victor. He is risen. My dear brother and sisters, this might be our story as well. We also have mean things in our life. Many times we are weak. We don't understand things accordingly. But God, our Lord Jesus Christ, is patient with us. He is so much patient with us. And He restores us. He wants to bless us. He wants to give us victory. And that victory is through our Lord Jesus Christ and to the resurrected power of our Lord Jesus Christ. Would you please pray with me that Lord will give us boldness. Lord will give us this strength that we will proclaim that Jesus is not only a prophet, but He is the Savior. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the Son of God. He is incarnated Savior. Not only a good news for us, but for the world as well. God bless you and thank you so much. Father God, thank you so much for this opportunity to learn from your word. Lord, we don't want to blame on these disciples and generally other disciples as well who are disappointed, who are frustrated, who are sad, and they thought differently. They expected from you differently. But Lord, you are so patient to them. Even they are in lack of faith, you are so kind to them. You continue to journey with them. And you restore them. And you made them your missionary to save the world. Father God, this is our situation many times, Lord. We are weak to understand your plan in our life. Lord, help us to grow in you, Lord. To trust in you, Lord. To spend valuable time with you, Lord. And thank you so much for journeying with us as well, Lord. Lord, open our eyes. Open our hearts. Open our hands, our feet, that we will continue to take your gospel to the people around us who are desperate situation, who are dying, Lord. They need resurrected Jesus. They need hope. We are people of hope. Lord, give us boldness. Give us this passion to be your witness. I want to pray for my brother and sister here at Northwest Bible Chapel. They will be victorious people. They will be people of hope, the people of transformation through the gospel. Lord, this is my prayer for all my dear brother and sister, all the families. They will rejoice in you, Lord, and they will continue to serve you, to give your message boldly. This is a prayer and thanksgiving in Jesus' name.